eventually get them to eat corn tortillas instead of making dosas every day. Now it was very easy for us also, buy it from this grocery store and like 2 minutes time you can make the tortillas and serve it. Hi folks, welcome to Searcy Health Pod once again, and we have Chef Michael this time, and we have talked a lot about ingredients and how to order in a restaurant, but I think we have
I'm going to stop you right there. You know why? Because you've just done this amazing journey during COVID, and I'm waiting to even hear, read about all the stories someday on your adventurous blog. But you traveled to Peru, and then you did, when you left America, you first went to?
Puerto Rico,
then you traveled and got stuck there for, I think, 3 months. So that was a life-altering journey, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And full of adventure, full of not getting the food that you want.
Yes.
And at times, even getting the food that you want. And I'm sure this is happens to a lot of people.
Yes.
So let's start with the journey of the flight first.
Okay, all right. So, when we were stuck because of COVID, I think it's a good segue into talking about how you can adjust your food preference or how you can adjust to your food preferences at certain places, right? So we went from the mainland United States to Puerto Rico, which is technically part of U.S. Technically, it's part of U.S., supposedly like a 51st state, but it has not gained the 51st state status, but it's like a union territory type.
Yeah.
So it's a completely different place. They don't speak English. Their food is very different. It's very Central and South American type of food.
And again, I think most people think South American food is all meat oriented.
Yeah, no,
is
no,
it
no.
true or false?
Completely false. Completely false.
Good for clarity.
We went to Puerto Rico because I had a project. I thought I could finish a project there. So we went to Puerto Rico. And we noticed there that there's a dearth of Indian groceries.
Okay, first we're getting to the flight.
Okay, you're about to enter the flight. Yeah, okay, sorry.
So did you order your food a few days before or did you at the airport itself?
No. So what we did was because the entire family is, plant-based or vegan or at least minimum what we do is a lot of times we don't say vegan. The reason why we don't say vegan is because if we say vegan, they just throw some carrots and lettuce at us, and there is absolutely no protein in there, no good carbs in there, just a bunch of fiber, which is okay, but that's not my cup of tea. So what we do is we order, everybody gets quote unquote Asian vegetarian food. So with Asian vegetarian food, if they give us a bunch of curd or paneer or something, we just set it aside and we eat the rest. So I should answer your question straight off, which is a week or two before we left the US mainland, we called and said we want Asian vegetarian food. So they made sure that we got Asian vegetarian food at least. That way we could just pick out the stuff and say, okay, we're not going to eat this.
Right.
And we got what we wanted, healthy, good carbs, good amount of protein with dals in it. Yeah.
That's good. So I think that's a very good tip for most travelers that before you travel, book your meals. And give the airline some time to give you some good food. Otherwise, you always complain that the airline never gave you good food, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. So once we, and it was a short journey, but the point is that we need to make sure the kids and all are not, well fed. Once we got there, we realized that there's complete dearth of Indian food. You can barely get in dals there. But they have a lot of different types of beans. So we found red beans, they were very much like rajma, so we could cook that. We found some other lentils that were very much like tur dal. They were in some, first of all, because of COVID, it was very difficult to find some of the groceries, but we did find it when we were traveling from, even within Puerto Rico, it's a fairly large island. So we were traveling every few weeks to a different location. Mm. So there also we had to adapt and buy certain groceries and all. So we found substitutes for dal, we found substitutes for other lentils and so on. And that helped us because, every day the kids were used to eating dosa. And Dr. Jenny is very fond of making, dosas and South Indian food for them. And she quickly found these substitutes. And as far as meat is concerned, that was not a problem. We think that all, like you said, we think that all South and Central American food is just only about meat. In fact, some of the best plant-based foods, I'm so tempted to see if we can, if Chef, you can make some of these things like mofongo and so on here in any of your restaurants, because it's plantains or root vegetables and so on. So we could, you know, we could have that with the, it's like a tortilla. I mean, it's like a chapati type of thing that they make with maize. And yeah, that was very good.
You know, I think when you're traveling, it's very important to do your food research or even your travel research, simply because there's no point carrying Indian food from India and then travel to a place and then all you're doing is actually eating Indian food in a foreign country.
Yeah.
You have to try the local food.
Yeah.
And you have to talk to the locals about it. So who are some of the best locals you chatted with to find out about the local food?
So yeah, that's a very good point. Actually, we started by saying, oh, they have to have dosas. By the time we finished the 6 months, the kids were eating all Puerto Rican food.
Yeah. So and I'm sure they must have enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is because you probably talked to the doorman or you talked to the hostesses.
Yes, we asked them.
You asked them.
So what happened was we were staying in an Airbnb all throughout. So in each Airbnb that we went to, we would, before we walked in, as we were taking the keys from the person, that the host or hostess, we would say, so where are good restaurants? What kind of food do you guys eat in this area? Is this more on the bean side or rice side, or you know, like, because we are only looking at the plant based foods. Or tortilla based, like a corn chapati types. And they would give us a good idea about, okay, where can we find these things? What are good grocery stores to go to, or what are good restaurants to visit? Because they basically were living there.
You know?
And people who invited us to their homes also, we would tell them our preference, and you know, it was not a problem for them to completely remove that meat part and feed us the rest. So that was very good.
Awesome. So when traveling, any more other tips you would like to talk about?
So I think one other thing that I want to mention as far as, you know, going to places is kind of taking off from what you were saying, which is, try the local food. You should, you know, even if you are so used to your own food, what you should try to do is, you know, ease up into their food. Like, for example, you know, initially we were giving the kids dosa every day. And then we started making savory pancakes with the local ingredients that were there. And, you know, they liked that. So from the savory pancakes, it was a lot easier for us to move them to something else that was closer to Puerto Rican cuisine. So we could eventually get them to eat corn tortillas instead of making dosas every day. Now it was very easy for us also, buy it from this grocery store, and like 2 minutes time you can make the tortillas and serve it. So that works
out.
So easing into a thing is also...
So I'm sure there are a lot of similarities, especially when I've also traveled. I see a lot of similarities between our foods and foods abroad. There are similarities, like you were saying, the tortillas to our chapatis, red beans to our rajma. Some of the chilies from South America, but chilies actually came from there traveled around the world. You see a lot of similarities. So a lot of the flavors are going to be similar. Like, for example, Mexican flavors.
Yeah.
They're so similar to Indian flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that not taking off in India is that probably because we've tried to play with the recipes too much rather than give people authentic food.
Yes.
So when traveling, go for the authentic food.
Yeah. One other thing I want to mention just occurred to me, and that is when you are actually in flight. In fact, I'm taking a flight another 2 days from now. But when you are in flight, I think you kind of mentioned that. Try not to eat anything heavy. Because if you try to eat something heavy, you'll feel so blah, and you know, it's like a sapping of energy. So eat plant-based food, even if you are... Okay, I admit that, you know, so many people are completely like, oh no, I have to have my meat every other day or every day. At least during the travel period, if you don't eat meat, your inflammation level will be lower, and you will feel more energetic to actually carry your bags or deal with the customs when you're getting there, getting to the other end. You're not going to be mentally and emotionally exhausted. You know, you'll be alert. And people who like fasting, this is a completely different topic, but people who have practiced fasting, they should actually fast. It's a lot better to fast during that time. And of course, no alcohol. Alcohol is very dehydrating. In flight, you should try not to have alcohol, because as it is, the AC and all is pulling a lot of moisture from you. Adding something else that pulls even more moisture out of you is a bad idea.
Mm. You know, when I was in Kuwait, I used to work as a menu planning officer for the airline. And we never had foods like cabbage, anything that caused gas or whatever served to you on a flight. And I think that rule holds dear even till today. Mm-hmm. And so how do you overcome those obstacles when you're traveling?
So
the flight is not going to serve you things like beans or anything that will cause gas and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no cabbage, there's no beans, there's no certain meats also they will not serve you on a flight, like bacon and all.
Mm-hmm.
Sausages they try and avoid because it does cause gas.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so it's best to, like I said, it's best to, at least for those, that duration of the flight, it's a very short duration. I'm sure you can live without meat for just that small duration. Try to avoid meat and dairy for at least that duration, because you will thank me later on when we get off the flight and you say, ah, I have more energy to pick up the stuff and I have more energy to deal with the questions that the customs official or the immigration official is asking off of me, or calling the cab and, you know, remembering, okay, these are the things that we, because, you know, when you land, there's a lot of whole bunch of things that you need to take care
of. There's so much. You're thinking about customs, you're thinking about your passport, you're thinking about your luggage, you're thinking about the kids, whoever you're traveling with.
Exactly. So I think it's you know, I...
It's chaotic.
We're talking about, of course, we are trying to get you into 365 days, 24 hours of the day eating plant-based, but at least during the flight, Try not to have alcohol is what my parting comments would be. Yeah.
So it's lovely having this chat, and we look forward to some more soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
We really hope you enjoyed our conversation. Can you think about one thing or an idea that you can start to introduce into your own life that will help make your life healthier and less stressful?
If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd really appreciate it if you can take a few seconds to share the podcast with your friends and family. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week.
And always remember, your health is literally in your own hands. Making lifestyle changes is not an easy task, but we promise you will be aptly rewarded with a long, healthy, and disease-free life.